I can't tell you how grateful I am for Senator Milner's leadership in education reform issues in the legislature. As you know, she was president of Weber State University, where she helped the university align itself with the workforce needs of the Weber-Davis area and northern Utah County. She is setting the stage for Utah to move forward in stackable credentials. And we have longitudinal data now that shows that the first-year earnings of somebody who gets a 9-month or a 12-month certificate in a technical field, the first-year earnings are here, and the first-year earnings of a bachelor's degree in the non-STEM field is here. That kind of disparity is not known by most high school graduates. And it's part of this effort to help educate students into what they can do to get an employable credential is so crucial for us, because we're spending $2.2 billion annually on post-secondary education. That's just the taxpayer part of it. That's not counting the tuition and other scholarships and that kind of thing. And so in spending $2.2 billion, most of that goes for non-completions, and most of those who do complete are not completing in the areas where they can actually get a job in the field of study. This kind of thing is going to help change that, and we need help to help students know before they go. I'm going to now talk about the ominous omnibus tax reform package that the legislature engaged in this year. As you know, there have been some conservative groups that have been pummeling legislators and working to get them defeated because they voted for House Bill 293 in particular. And while the Taxpayers Association did not endorse House Bill 293 because it had a net tax hike and set the stage for future property tax hikes, we are very grateful for the fact that it did achieve some of the things that we have in Utah 2.0, such as the single sales factor to make Utah more competitive in the corporate income tax. At the same time, it did other things, and I'm going to show you a video now. Is this the unedited version? So we're still doing some edits on this, so I hope you forgive us on that, but this has been a short window of preparing this, as we decided that it's hard to explain what the tax reform bills collectively did without a lot of visuals. And so we're going to roll this video now and ask the question, how would you have voted on this tax reform package of these two bills, Senate Bill 233 and House Bill 293? And then I'll be back to explain further.
There has been a mixed reaction to HB 293 and SB 233. There were compromise components of this omnibus bill. Some legislators have been demonized for voting for a tax increase relating to these bills. What you are about to see will help you decide if the legislature did the right thing.
Then you can take a portion of what we did during the legislative session and highlight that. But what we have to do is we have to look at the whole session. And while there may be a small increase in property taxes, when you look at the whole package, there was a huge tax cut that was voted on by the members of the legislature this year. Why isn't that being highlighted?
In the state of Utah, we're a growing state, and you have three legs of a stool in terms of taxes that the state receives. You have property tax, you have sales tax, you have income tax. The state of Utah has seen its income tax grow mightily. Its sales tax is okay, but its property tax has been the shortest leg of the three-legged stool, and we see that has begun to shrink more every single year. We looked at our business taxes, and we looked at smart ways to incentivize growth and economic growth through a business tax cut. At the same time, we're seeing record and needed funds in public education. We cut taxes and our income tax.
Let's look at how these bills affect business. Utah is only one of eight states which punish businesses that invest in Utah workers' tools of production which wear out in 3 years.
This is not just a few thousand dollars, minimum of hundreds of thousands of dollars that we spend on this sort of stuff every year.
We have visited dozens of states looking at where we might expand as a company. And taxation in manufacturing is a big deal for companies like us.
When the Supreme Court or Congress overturns the Quill decision, the elimination of this 3-year life penalty will cut business sales taxes by $83 million.
What they're discovering is that the more that they can incent companies to take raw products in their state, create something of greater value, and then export it out of state, the higher impact on the economy, the greater the financial benefit to the economy. Well, that's what single sales factor does. It incents companies to produce products in the state of Utah and export them out of state.
Big companies like Adobe, high-tech companies that have most of their sales outside of Utah, they will be attracted here. But what will come to our state is high-paying jobs. We are now the number one state for economic development for several years in a row, and will continue to be.
House Bill 293 gives corporations an income tax cut.
This year, we lowered the rate to 4.95%. Not a big jump or not a big decrease, but we got below 5%. We will look more attractive to businesses across the country because now we are a sub 5% income tax rate, not only for individuals, but for corporations also.
HB 293 also contained a tax cut of $56.3 million in corporate and personal income tax. Now we'll look at how the bills impact education.
The gap that we face in Utah between the districts that have a lot of funding and those that don't is getting wider.
Whether we believe every child should have an equal education opportunity, or whether some children just aren't deserving because they happen to live in the wrong area.
All children should have access to education equally, irrespective their zip code.
At the time that Jordan first announced we're going to do 40,000, we were at 33,142 on our salary.
If salaries matter, we will ensure that all of these districts are able to be brought up so that they can compete for high quality teachers.
Equalization from HB 293's property tax rate freeze in 2019 brings equalization to $825 per student. At full implementation, a total of $125 million will be distributed between now and 2023. This will increase each taxpayer's property tax by 0.08% each year, totaling 4% over the 5 years.
There's always winners and losers in equalization, and the winners are our students. These children getting ready for the workforce, they're the winners when we can do something like we did this year.
HB 293 froze the property tax rate to ensure that we collected more taxes as a result of increases in values of existing properties, which will raise taxes by $125.6 million. Now let's turn our attention to the additional school property tax increase contained in HB 293 that would result from the WPU Value Index. The Value Index requires that property taxes never drop below 15% of the minimum school program, while income taxes fund the remaining 85%. Each year, the legislature must vote on this potential property tax hike. The $68.2 million projected property tax hike is based on an annual increase in the WPU of 4%. The 4% is optional each year. If the legislature wishes to minimize or prevent the tax hike, they can set the percentage of increase in the WPU below that amount. Fiscal conservatives have an opportunity annually to eliminate the projected value index tax increase entirely. This would turn the net projected tax increase of $26.2 million into a net tax cut of $42 million. The value index tax could be reduced or eliminated. How did the 2018 session affect the taxpayers?
Because when we took the formula and we took these changes that we made systemically and how we would fund schools on the long term, This idea of raising $700 million in taxes through some of the worst ways you try to do it went away with it.
Funding that would have gone into the 4% WPU increase can now flow to more important purposes, such as a greater equalization and paying a higher differentiated amount for math and science teachers. We could actually increase the differential pay to a $10,000 annual incentive to stay in education. Now you can decide, did the legislature do the right thing? And what should be done with the WPU value index in subsequent legislative sessions?
That was a lot better than listening to me try to explain it, I think, hopefully. There are a few glitches in the video that we still are in the correction mode, but the people who put this together were the same people who put together the video for our Utah 2.0 that now we have won the victory on that this last session. And they're also the same people who put together the video that saved Greg Hughes when he was facing false ethics allegations. And we made a video that was put on the web the Thursday before the Tuesday election, when Greg Hughes was going down 2-1 in early voting. And after we got the video out there explaining what really happened, there were 4,000 hits. It went viral in his district, and he won by 200 votes, and then went on to become Speaker of the House of Representatives. It's the power of those kind of videos that can really help inform people. And I'd like to have the maker of our video, Al Vieira, and he's with Carlisle Exchange. And I want to tell you, not only are they great video makers, but they're very reasonable in price, and that's part of the reason that I look to them, but also because of the quality of their work. And so Al will be available if any of you in your campaigns, either corporate or otherwise, have need for sound videos, he's available. And I want to just give him the credit for helping to make this something that will help explain for people what really happened with the tax reform package. So let's give him thanks for what he did on that. He also has left cards out on the registration table for any of you who want to keep his contact information. It's important that we communicate these things so that people can vote on the facts and not just on the hyperbole. I want to say that the property tax hike that's associated with this bill is the real concern that we should have, because the Utah Taxpayers Association put in place in 1985 the legislation we fought for and worked with the Tax Commission on, called Truth in Taxation, which requires that taxing entities not get any additional money over last year except for new growth. And if they want to take the amounts over that to pay for the cost of inflationary adjustments, they have to go through a truth in taxation process. And so during the next 5 years, the legislature is going to have to vote on what they do with that WPU value index, whether they're going to vote for a property tax hike in each of those years by giving a WPU value of 4%, or whether they're going to give less than that 4% and use the remaining money to do things such as differential pay for teachers. As you know, it's hard to get math and science teachers in our schools because industry wants them for their purposes. But when industry takes those math and science teachers, it depletes the pipeline of qualified students that come from our schools. And so in Utah, we now pay those math and science teachers $4,200 more than the pay scale. We want to get that up to be $10,000 more than the pay scale, because we're still not keeping the numbers of math and science teachers we need. In fact, the science qualified teachers we have in this state, you can almost count them on two hands. And when you have tens of thousands of high school students in particular who need those qualified math and science teachers, we need to meet the market demand of their pay and get that up there. So that's one thing that could be done with that money to prevent the WPU value increase property tax hike. Another thing that we could do is to increase the equalization for those poor districts in their property tax effort so that they can generate as much as others, and we don't face what that Tooele superintendent on that video showed, where mid-year he was getting his best teachers poached by the Wasatch Front districts as they see the scores that those teachers are getting from their students, and they go out there and offer them $7,000-$8,000 more per year immediately to start mid-year. They say, we've just lost a teacher because they moved with a spouse out of state. We need to fill our classroom, so we'll take them from Tooele, who can't pay them, even though Tooele has the highest school property tax rate in the state. They generate almost the least amount per student, and therefore they can't compete in salaries. So those are some of the tools that legislature will be looking at, and your taxpayers association will be putting the heat on legislators to say, we don't want you to increase property taxes each year. We'd rather have you pay differential pay. We'd rather have you use that money for equalizing those things. So this has been an amazing thing this year that we got so much done in the way of the Utah 2.0 and tax reform. When I announced that I would not be seeking re-election on the final night of the legislature, I told my colleagues, first of all, that I'm not going away. I will still be with the Taxpayers Association. And if you don't keep doing the things you should be doing, I will be your worst nightmare. And you know I can be. The other thing is that I told them that with people like Senator Milner doing the advocacy for education reform, as you've just seen her describe, she's doing a much better job of that than I was, and so I'm not needed. The other thing is that I said that I have accomplished almost every one of the major goals that I set when I ran 26 years ago. And with the three-year life sales tax and with the single sales factor and the other things that we were able to do this year, I felt that it was the right time to leave. And so in a little while, I'm going to describe for you what the six people who were vice presidents of the association, while I've been in the legislature, actually accomplished for the taxpayers of the state of Utah. I'm thrilled to be part of this organization, and I plan on staying for a little while longer, but I appreciate the support of all of your help as members and as nemesis and other things that have helped us to do a good job as the Taxpayers Association. So we're ready for the next part of our program.